Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm glad to have you with me tonight. Praise Yahweh. We got a good message for you tonight. We're going to get into doctrine, things that we believe that are essential for your soul's journey toward eternity. Now, neighbors, it's for sure that you brought nothing into the world, but you can, if you're wise, take something out. And that is a doctrine that will stand the test in the day of the testing. You remember in Matthew 25:31, he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all of his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered the sheep and the goats. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great day of reckoning. Oh, yes, it's future, and oh, yes, tomorrow the sun will probably come up. And then we are lulled into thinking, well, the master delays his return. Well, he don't, ladies and gentlemen. There's a day appointed in the heavens when he's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not his doctrine. We're going to start in the book of Luke chapter 2 tonight. We're going to verse 46, and we're going to enter into the temple, and we're going to sit in the presence of the Messiah, a young lad, when he was just a young man. The Bible said to seek the Father in the days of your youth, meaning that you should be about your Father's business early on. I got started when I was under conviction when I was actually 12 years old. And would go out in the woods and preach and teach and do those things in the Bible. I carried a Bible. I didn't want to be seen with it, but I carried it into the woods. And I would preach the squirrels and the various animals that were hid in the woods listening to me, probably, perhaps, and maybe an angel or two that were watching me practice on an old log or an old stump somewhere back in the hills of East Tennessee. Praise Yahweh. But today, I am so thankful that I started my journey in earnest when I was 21 years old. I began to preach and teach and function in the doctrine. Now, I have learned that it is not, you know, necessarily correct the first impression you get with scriptures. You can change your mind occasionally, and the Bible will indicate that to continue, you must be able to, as we say, roll with the flow, or be able to change as things change. Nothing remains the same. It's a constant shift and a flow into the Spirit. The Bible said, if a man believes on me as the scriptures are said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I hope tonight that there's a river of doctrine thought comes to you, and it will help you and promote you, encourage you and convict you, and cause you to press toward the mark and the high calling. That's why we're here. We're not on here to dishearten you or to disarm you or to take away from anything you've got. We're here to add to. And as the young lad, the Messiah, sitting in the midst of the doctors, it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, isn't that strange? Here he is. Now, what does doctors of the word, what are they? They are doctrinal experts. Well, the old saying is, a wise man will change his mind and the fool never will. If you grow in grace and knowledge, that means that you evolve. And if you spell love backwards, that's basically what you get out of the English word. And so I guess maybe that pipe has to be turned completely around or upside down or inside out to really perform and function in the doctrine of truth. Now, I'm going into the scriptures, and I'm going to give you John 7:16. St. John 7:16. Listen. The Messiah, Yahushua, answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Huh, isn't that a strange statement? The Messiah here saying, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Now, who sent him? The Father, God Almighty. So, my question to you tonight, and I want you to examine the truth of this statement, has God got a doctrine? Are we to pursue his doctrine? Or are we to go with the doctrine of perhaps the world? Or the doctrine of tradition? And the Bible says, "For well, you reject the commandments of God, which is doctrine, to keep your own tradition." Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be a traditionalist unless it's the tradition of the elders or the scriptural content, intent, and purposes of the Bible. You must study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Let the Father fill your mouth with the power of the wisdom of the strength of the Word. Now, the Word is given to inspire you. It is given to instruct you. It is given to correct you. It is given to place you, position you in a position where that you can stand before Him in that day and the books be opened and you can defend yourself or you can justify yourself in scriptural content and in context in righteous doctrine. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You're put down here, I don't know what you think you're here for, but I can assure you right now, tonight, this is the 25th day of April. Man, are we ever moving on out of the month of April. Well, we've got a severe drought, weather changes, patterns, trouble, brewing, everywhere on the earth, the waves of the sea roaring. We have five planets right now in alignment right above our head. And we're in perilous times. So you better get some doctrine. You better make your election and calling sure. You better put on the whole armor, and you better be ready to travel the narrow path toward eternity. That's why Pastor Buddy's here. If I could aid and abet you in pursuing the Father and his doctrine, then I have no function or purpose to be here. But if I can bring you scripture line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, as it says in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, where we'll actually go after a while and read the text that we're going to give you concerning doctrine. Whom shall he teach doctrine? Whom shall he teach doctrine? Can he teach you? Now, he astounded the doctors, the doctrinal teachers, in the temple. He, meaning the Messiah. They were astounded at his wisdom and at his ability to ask questions. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we sort of know some of the questions he asked, and they're still pertinent today. They must be answered, and they must be answered truthfully. And when you answer them, a lot of times it will go right against the grain of what you believe or your tradition. It will even, the Bible said, "I'll do a work among you when I'm among you that you won't believe, though a man, a preacher, a minister of doctrine declared it to you." Now, the Bible said he also spoke with his doctrine as one that had authority. There is a difference. You got to know where you're going, and to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been. So let's go into the content of the scriptures and study as we are now in the 17th verse of John chapter 17. Notice as I continue. "If any man would do his will, the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Ladies and gentlemen, God, Almighty Yahweh, has got a doctrine. Are you in it? Are you pleasing him? Are you performing? Are you functioning with the realm of his will and the doctrine that he's got, which never changes? Are you sure? The Bible said to make your election and calling sure. Are you perfectly sure that you're right? Do you know what the doctrine consists of? Do you know what it takes to put on the whole armor? Do you know what it takes to make a soldier that will fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life? That's my purpose here tonight. If I can instruct you how to get into heaven, then by your obedience, the Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice and rebellion is worse than witchcraft. You got to be purpose. You got to be rigid in your dogma. You got to be dogmatic. I always tell people I'm like a junkyard dog turned loose to patrol my territory. I ain't going to let the devil, or I ain't going to let nobody turn me around. The Bible said he that puts his hand to the plow is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's cheap at any price. And I told you last night when we set this up for you in our message of doers, you got to be a doer of the word and out of here. A doer is someone that functions within the realm of reality to bring forth and produce fruit. A hearer is somebody that has his ears tickled by some nice comfort zone preacher or a denominational system, bell box I call them, to promote you and to stroke your flesh with smooth speech and enticing words of man's wisdom. Oh yes, it sounds so good. But ladies and gentlemen, have you ever gone to the wilderness for 40 days? Have you ever gone 40 days without taking a bath? Without combing your hair? Have you ever hid in the caves of the mountains for 40 days at a time with nothing but your Bible and a jar of water? Have you ever really functioned within the realm of pushing your plate back in doctrine and thirsting after righteousness? You say, Pastor Brady, we don't have to do those things today. That was for them of old. You know, see, we romanticize the past, and we neutralize the present, and we glorify the future. Well, tomorrow I'm going to quit smoking. Tomorrow I'm going to quit drinking. Tomorrow I'm going to quit glutton. Tomorrow I'm going to quit cursing. Tomorrow I'm going to start reading the Bible. Tomorrow I'm going to start praying. Tomorrow I'm going to start fasting. Tomorrow. Glorify tomorrow. Neutralize the present and romanticize the past. Oh, we like it to hear some preacher get up and tell about the terrible journeys through the arid, hot, burning desert where Moses was provoked with the murmuring and complaining Israelites, the lazy, sorry, low-down scoundrels. And then it says, oh, can you see our message today? How blessed we are to have Christ in our presence. When he bared the cross for us, when he did it all for us, all we've got to do now is come to the air-conditioned buildings and sit and get into a romanticized mood. Neutralize the present. Don't be a warrior. Don't be a fighter. Don't be a pursuer of doctrine. Just sit and let us dictate to you in the present and glorify the future and romanticize the past. Ladies and gentlemen, that ain't going to cut it. That won't get the job done. That won't put no armor on your back. That won't prepare you to meet God. And here's what we're talking about. You can know if the doctrine is of God or whether I'm really speaking of myself or of the records here or off the cuff or speaking in vain. The Bible said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to do something worthy of Yahweh's attention, and the only thing that we can do is come or conform or to bend or to mend our ways and then seek him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least doctrines and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 15 and 9. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Commandments of men? I have no men having any commandments. Have you ever heard any? I have. Why? Every time a preacher gets up and preaches something other than what is written in or intended in the scriptures, he's teaching the commandments of man. Tradition, Easter bunnies, Christmas, all these things, these pagan, look good things. Oh man, I don't want to get started. I might get mad and cuss a little bit. You don't like to hear a preacher cuss, do you? Huh? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know some preachers in the Bible that cursed. I know a man that cursed children. Yeah, you see, ladies and gentlemen, you're not playing church, are you? Isn't this a all for or nothing? I mean, if you gain the world, you're gonna lose eternity. If you gain eternity, you're gonna lose the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. So you can't conform, you can't love the world, you can't have your cake and eat it too here. You gotta choose this day which one you're gonna serve, and there's doctrine to follow. We're going to get into that tomorrow night, and that's when the cheese is going to get very binding. I'm going to set it up tonight to show you that you got to get into the correct doctrine. There is doctrine that is functional, purposeful, for the intention of saving your soul. We're going to prove it. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 15, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Oh, you did run well. What hindered you, Paul said. What did they run to? They ran to the world. Oh, they went down and signed the preacher's card, the church card. They got their name on the roll books, and they'll say, oh, we're going to go up in the rapture. Glory to God. Because preacher so-and-so, he's so nice. I just love his wife and his children. They dress up so pretty. Yes, I gave them a large offering. Yeah, they needed to expand the west wing, the east wing, the north wing, the south wing, the under wing, and the upper wing. Ladies and gentlemen, building bigger buildings with tradition when we ought to be building altars in the nature and have men and women together on it and offer up acceptable sacrifices to Yahweh that we could change ourselves and then change the world or change Israel, which is the world as far as I'm concerned. Romans 16 and verse 17. Listen to me as I read. Now beset you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. I've had to separate myself from these brothers and sisters that walk disorderly and not after the doctrine of the scriptures. They get away. You teach them the doctrine. They'll perform it for a while as long as you stand over them. But then when they get out on their own or they drift off, then they quit doing the things that they're taught to do. Remember, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Separate yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. That's what you got to do. Now, there's a cost to it. It hurts. Yeah, I've shed many a tear. Bottles and bottles and bottles couldn't hold the tears I've shed over having to separate myself from brethren that walketh disorderly. They won't follow the divine principle of blame. You see, if they'd stay in the Word, if they would follow the scripture, the guidelines here of the commandments and the doctrine, we would have no problem. We could all meet on common ground and have fellowship together. But you can have fellowship with a brother that walks in darkness or walks contrary or walks disorderly. Now, verse 18, for they, these that are causing divisions and contrary to the doctrine, they serve not Yahweh, sure, but their own belly. You know, they get a certain lukewarm group of people that's got a lot of money. And they say, now listen, preacher, now we don't believe this and we don't believe that, we don't believe this. They put the guidelines out there to the preacher. And it's, as long as you don't get on our toes, you know, you can be our pastor. They don't come right out and say that. But basically the preacher knows exactly. The Bible said they have itching ears, preachers. What does that mean? They want to find out what the preponderance of the audience wants to hear, and he obliges them. He feeds their carnal egos. He don't want to get on spiritual commandment keeping and statute keeping and ordinances and things of that nature, because it would take them out of the norm or the world, and they would have to conform to the scriptures of the doctrine of God. How would you like to go on a journey with our Savior when he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and fasted and prayed? How'd you like to journey along with him? Well, I can't go. I just married a wife. I can't go. I just bought me a yoke of oxen. I can't go. I just built me a house. I can't go. I just bought me a farm. Same damned excuses for the damned. I want to repeat that so you can just get it in your craw real good. The same damned excuses that will damn you on Judgment Day. The Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. It's the same damn old excuses that they were given back then in the past that they like to romanticize, and they neutralize the present. Oh, we don't have to do that. Oh, that's back under then. Oh, that's some future kingdom. Well, we got to wait till we get raptured out. That's for the wicked down here. They're going to go through that. We're not going to go through that. See, in the present, they neutralize everything and become doers of nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the age. This is the day. Don't let it go past. Become, oh my, hallelujah, become a fanatic. Become a purposed person, peculiar and purposed, that you would forsake house, land, wife, car, children, yea, even your own life, to pursue after the doctrine and commandments of Yahweh rather than of men. Oh my, oh my, hallelujah. How we need to come into the presence with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. How we need to put on the armor. How we need to work while it's light. How we need to get into the present, into the now generation. We need to keep feast now. We don't have to wait until the coming kingdom. You're going to keep the new moon feast then, because the Bible says so. Yeah. That's what it says. From one new moon to the other. Oh, we don't get new moons today, Pastor Betty. That was back under the law. Well, he says in the future you're going to keep it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't start practicing it now, watching, praying, getting on the Sabbath dates. Now, we're going to get into that tomorrow night. Doctrine. You see, when you teach doctrine, you separate. You know, it's nice. I just come up here and just pre-take. I'm preaching the love of Yahweh. Man, hate every false way, but love Yahweh. I don't mind you hating as long as you hate every false way. David said, through thy precepts I get understanding. In other words, in the word I find out what your doctrine is, and then I hate every false way, or I hate every way that's contrary to your doctrine, Father. I'm going to keep it. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve Yahweh. That's what David said. Are you willing? Are you able? Are you ready to live in the present and the now? Well, I'm coming back after the break. We're going to get into the second half of doctrine. Praise Yahweh. Welcome back. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, and my, I'm enjoying into the scriptures here with the content of doctrine. I just feel so good about ministering for you and to you. And I appreciate you listening in. Praise Yahweh. And I hope and trust that I can say something that will encourage you or promote you for kingdom purposes, not for this earth, but for the kingdom to come. Ladies and gentlemen, most people are in a flesh and blood mentality. They're concerned about the world conditions and things of this nation. I guess rightfully so. But ladies and gentlemen, isn't there something beyond the world, the things of the world, that we need to look at? Isn't it time that we really moved up, like it says in Galatians 1 and 6, listen as I read, in the book of Galatians, if you're studying, go there with us. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the doctrine of the Father. You know, it becomes a hard saying. You see, the Father is really testing his children. And oh, how he puts you to the test. Remember, I told you when the Messiah went out into the wilderness, Satan did not show up for 40 days. I mean, he's a wise old dude. He knew that the Messiah was fasting and seeking a greater spiritual. The Bible's very plain that the Messiah himself learned obedience. He was out there learning obedience. Have you ever learned any obedience? The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Are you going to be an obedient one and make the present a positive flow into your life? Or are you going to always say, well, tomorrow we'll be raptured out. The next day, Christ is coming to get his church, and we won't have to go through no tribulation. I heard my pastor say that, and the First Baptist down here on the corner, I'm gonna be with them when they get raptured, because the pastor told me, now if you're all members here, we can all go together. But if you're one of our members, you might not get to go. So come on down here and join. Oh my, I marvel that you are so soon removed into another gospel, which there is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ, that through we or though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's a pretty strong statement. Paul said, if anybody comes along after we get through here laying the foundation and writing it on the record, if anybody changes it, let them be accursed. Now, if that person changes it, he comes under the curse. And those that believe what he changed and go against that which is written, then the Bible said, he that's deceived them, and both they and him will receive a reward in a lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Ladies and gentlemen, we're headed for judgment. And if judgment begins at the house of God, that's you. You are the temple of God. God is in you, the hope of glory. And if you keep him in prison, if you don't let him have his way in your life, you are walking contrary, or you're conjuring up, or you're believing, or practicing, or sympathizing with another gospel. Ephesians chapter 4:14, listen to that call, extend the warning here. Be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If you'll follow after the commandments of Yahweh and listen to the shepherd's call, I'll promise you, I'll give you more scriptures per hour than perhaps any other radio broadcast that you'll listen to. And I don't really care one way or the other how it falls. If you favor it, fine. If you don't, fine. Because I know that all my requirement is to preach the gospel. Be instant in seasoning it out, reprove and rebuke and suffer with all authority and doctrine. And that's what I'm doing. Now, if it cuts you off on that side, and if you fall victim to the sword, then you're just another slayed by the word. Now, if you fall into the loving hands of the Creator, well, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall, but if the gospel cuts you down, you're going to fall anyway. Fall right into His hands, lean on Him. He won't fall. He'll catch you. It's just like a little child upon a building afraid to jump. Come on. The Father and His doctrine will catch you. The doctrine will hold you. But don't be carried away with every wind of darkness, doctrine by the sly and the cunning and craftiness whereby these evil ones lie in wait to deceive. Ladies and gentlemen, when they tell you that the present is neutralized, oh, you don't have to do nothing. We'll just wait on the rapture. Just come to our bake-off. Come to our cake sale. Come to our church bazaar. Come to the hot dog hamburger supper in the basement. Come and we got a volleyball league. Come, we've got a singles league. Come, we've got a divorced young group. They got something for everything that you've got a fleshly need for. They soothe the flesh. I come to soothe you. I come to skin you. Preach to you the ever-loving gospel and tell you, you need to get up for your sorry butt and do something. And that is believe the doctrine. I'm looking for doers, not hearers. Praise Yahweh. You say, Pastor Buddy, we'd believe you if he wasn't so darn stern. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a chokewalk. My message is just a little weak message compared to what the Father's going to preach to you on the day of judgment. Depart from me. How are you going to deal with that? Huh? You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I'll say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done many wonderful works in your name? Well, you know what the Lord's going to say to you? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care what you've done good as far as the world looks at, or give you credit, or build a building, and, you know, you left $2 million down to the Second Methodist or the 23rd Pentecostal. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to do more than build brick and mortar. You're going to have to build a faith that Satan can't tear down. And I guarantee you, when you start walking for the Father, you watch the devil. After 40 days, here come the devil. When he got hungry, here come the devil and said, hey, you know that rock over there? How'd you like to turn it into some nice hot rolls, yeast rolls, with good old creamy cow's butter running down the side and some honey? You see, that's how Satan works. The Messiah knew he had the power to turn that rock into a piece of bread, but he knew if he did, he would be tempted by the devil and he would succumb to it. And most people are taken by the craftiness, the sly and cunning craftiness of Satan. He's a wise sheep getter. He's a wolf. But he comes to you in sheep's clothing. And I'm telling you, he's wearing his three-piece suits today, and he's Johnny Longlegs, and he's a swooping and a hollering and swinging across the television sets and the radio waves, and he's got money running out of his gills. He's got a Learjet to fly across to deceive and to deceive and to deceive and to deceive and to tickle your ear and to smooth speech you and just send it down here to me in glory. We'll take care of your money. We need another new Harley. Oh, my. And people flock. You see, they love to see prosperity. All these ministries that are just floundering and, you know, struggling just like my ministry. They don't want to hear a poor prophet. They want to hear a rich prophet with a Learjet that's got a big 40,000 seat arena to pack them in and blow on them and knock them down and whoop in and all the stuff that they do. The Bible says that God himself will send them a strong delusion, and that they would deceive the very elect. Colossians 2:4, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. See, there they are. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Beware, lest you get spoiled. Two-thirds, well, let me rephrase that, 99% of the given public today that calls themselves Christian are nothing but spoiled crybabies. They couldn't fast a week, let alone 40 days. They wouldn't go to the wilderness for one night in a camp out unless they had a sex orgy or some television set to drag along with them or some rock and roll band to play crazy music and a pound of marijuana and a pound of cocaine. Well, that's what they're into, ladies and gentlemen. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntarily humility of worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head from which the body by the joints and the bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances of the world? I mean, the Bible said the things that you once loved, you now hate. When you get a good Holy Ghost dose, then, I mean, you're going to come out of kicking, and you're going to come out of performing, and you're going to come out of believing doctrine, and you don't care who gets mad or who gets glad. You know, I like to shout with the best of everything. Every time you come to a meeting, you're going to have a shouting, you know, most time it's a knock-down, drag-out. Most time it's a fight, because when you would do good, the more good you got, or the more good that you preach and promote, the more evil is present. For when you would do good, evil's always present. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are these to perish with the using, acts of the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and real worship and humility and the neglecting of a body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Oh, how they dress up the flesh, and how they put every hair in place. They go to have their nails done so that their hands, they ain't got calluses on them, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't many poor preachers left today on the scene, because they've been blowed out of the way by these Johnny Quicklegs, these Johnny Come Handsomelys. You know, you've got to be good looking now, you know, so you can promote a image of Christ. You see, it's like Hollywood. The ministry is going Hollywood. Oh, they do the makeup scene. They do, you know, they've got a staff. They've got a battery of phones, banks to take in the calls to get the pledges, and they do that 24/7. Millions and millions and millions of dollars pours in. Go to their ranches. Go to their homes. Go to their airports. Go to their limousines and see what they do with their money. Oh yeah, they show you little stars and faces over in Africa. Flies on pot-bellied children that's malnourished. Oh, they show you that. And you'll send in your money, and maybe 50 cents gets over there, and 9.50 goes into their bank. Oh, man, satisfying enough of flesh. 1 Timothy 1 and 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important for us to stay within the biblical doctrines. And I'm going to give you something tomorrow night that may curl your toenails, part your hair in the right place. It's not bush up your hair. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do, and which some of those that do not, having servered, having turned aside into vain genuine, disarmed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof that they affirm, but hold faith, holding faith in a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Oh, my. 1 Timothy 4:1. This is a good one. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and incorporating into their life doctrines of devils. Well, we're going to get raptured out. That's a doctrine of a devil. Anybody that preaches a rapture out is a doctrine of a devil. Why? Because you ain't going to be raptured out. You're going to have to stay here and face the consequences. It's truth and consequences. It ain't truth or consequences. This is truth and consequences. You're going to stay here and fight the good fight of faith. You're going to go through the tribulation period whether you like it or not. Only the wicked's going to be taken out of here, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to go back and look at the historical documents of the faith of good doctrines, remember Noah? Yeah, they got a rapture back in Noah's day. Yeah, I agree. They were raptured out. Who? What, in the church of Yahweh? It was a church of Satan. And what's going to be raptured out this time? The wicked are going to be severed from among the just. The righteous are going to inherit, and the wicked will be taken away. Two grind in the field. One left and one taken away. Well, guess which one's going to be taken away? It ain't the church. They teach that the church is going to be raptured, and they're going to be taken out. That ain't what the Bible says. There's no scripture whatsoever for a rapture of the righteous off the earth. There is scripture that says that Christ is coming back to the earth to redeem them and to punish and to destroy the wicked with the brightness of his coming. You say, oh yeah, but that's the third phase, and you know, they have these, they have pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and all that garbage. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from each, refuse profane and old wives' fable tales, and exercise yourself rather unto the doctrine of godliness. For if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing but dotting about with questions and scraps of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Brother John and I were exchanging emails just prior to the message here tonight. We were talking about how truth is cast to the ground and how the wicked prosper. They don't want no truth. The world don't want no truth. The world don't want no doctrine taught. Let me tell you the extent of the doctrine of the world at a Billy Graham crusade. Just as now, he that's sitting in the balcony up there, come, we'll wait on you until you can get down here. We're going to give you a little literature. Go to the church of choice and whatever you are, be a business. Where in the world did that doctrine come from? It didn't come out of the Bible. These are perverse, corrupt minds, destitute of truth. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know, now Billy's getting old and ancient, and he's carried the gospel of Christ to millions and millions of people. He's not carried any doctrine to the people. You ever seen him have a baptismal service? No. You ever seen him build an altar and pray? No. Or they pass the tubs of money. I'm telling you, literally, tubs, washing tubs. I'm talking about the old fashioned tubs. You old folks know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a washing tub. They would pass those around at the stadiums where he was here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Literally 135,000 there. And they would literally pass tubs down the aisles with men. The money would be falling out of the tubs when it got to the end of the row. You had a good, poor, Holy Ghost-filled preacher come down there and preach the doctrine, and they'd stone him to death. That's how evil this world has gotten. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Oh, we took up $257,000. That's more than not a little old minister will as will generate in 65 years of preaching. And get in one meeting what it'll take me at least 60 years for honest men and women to support me and keep us on the radio. Praise Yahweh. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some profession have erred concerning the faith of the doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before Yahweh that they strive not about the words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, and to shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as does a cancer, who concerning the truth these have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now I'm going to give you one more scripture. I've got to get out of here. My time is running short. Praise Yahweh. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Of this sort are they which creep into houses, you know, they come in now through the tube, and lead captive silly women. I guess that's enigmatic expression here. For the woman's a weaker vessel. Somebody that's weak, don't know that they lead them laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, oh, but he's so handsome, he can't be wrong, he's so pretty. My. Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these who resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, that they shall proceed no further. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. If you'd like to call me tonight, I would appreciate hearing from you. We need your help. Dr. Darren and Dr. Jack are supporting me here on Truth Radio, but we need your help. They would love to have you to sign on. I'll give you numbers that you can call and just tell Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack that you would like to sign up to support the Shepherd's Call. If you like truth, now if you don't like truth, don't bother. Go to the bell box and get your ears tickled. Or if you'd like to listen to Shepherd's Call, I'll skin you alive. I'll burn you up with a word so that you'll be fireproof. You see, I'll fix you before you can get fireproof before the judgment seat, and you will be able to escape if you obey the scriptures, and that's what you got to do. You can call Dr. Gary tonight at 1-877-289-7439. Call him, 1-877-289-7439. Tell him you want to support the Shepherd's Call. We need your help. We could expand and go other places if you'd help us. We're already on WWCR on Sunday night at 6 and 11 Eastern. Praise Yahweh. You can call Dr. Jack. These are toll-free and don't cost you nothing. Call, pledge your support. Call Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. That's 1-888-281-7320. These are my two main sponsors. They need your help. Call them and say, Pastor Buddy was requesting that we help him in the gospel. We want to pledge your support. They'll give you the addresses to send your tithes and offerings to. Praise Yahweh, and Yahweh will bless you. If you'd like to write me tonight, simply address your letters, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. And we'll see you tomorrow night when we conclude this message of doctrine. We will take it into the depths and in the regions of the scriptures, right in the belly of the faith and the mind of God. For God, it says in the 7th chapter of John, that God has got a doctrine. Do you know what it is? Have you obeyed it? Have you been set free? Are you in his name? Do you have that mark of the Father in your forehead? I hope so. I'll see you tomorrow night. Jacob Fisher, I love you. Yahweh bless you. Greetings around the radio network on truth. Send truth an offering if you can. Praise Yahweh. We enjoy being here. Yahweh bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you.
thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.